And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hey folks, welcome into Onto Waveland, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I am Brett Taylor, joined by Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney for the Cubs podcast here at The Athletic. We got the whole group together. It was the last two. We just had to do a little two-man booth situation, but now we got all three of us back together. And, you know, just in time to discuss the stretch run for the Cubs. Road to getting back into contention. No, I kid. We are all, I think, still adjusting to an August and September where competitiveness is completely off the table for the first time in 7 years. And indeed, I was thinking about that 7 years ago, that 2014 season, which was, again, the last time that we weren't talking about, either as fans, as media, whatever, the Cubs in a push toward the postseason. And I remember that second half of 2014 quite well, because as you'll recall, that was the introduction of cookies. That was when the youngsters were finally starting to come up. The Cubs were starting to look like a team where you could think about competitiveness the next year. And this has a very different feel. Would we agree on that?
I think that's insulting to Frank Schwindel and Yoshuenlee Fargus.
It says everything that you had to hesitate for a second before you said his last name. Like that really, yeah.
Well, I did. I will not tolerate any
Frank
so.
Pause Schwindel slander in this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking the same thing when you started saying we haven't dealt with this in 7 years. It was like with 2014, there was genuine excitement among the fan base in the second half because, you know, people that had been paying attention a little bit were like, oh, these guys are finally coming up. Here's some, like you said, here are the cookies that Theo promised that eventually fans would eventually get. So it was a much different feeling. Look, Manny Rodriguez looks like he has a future as a legit major league reliever, but it's hard to get pumped and excited about Manny Rodriguez. It just is. And there's just not much to watch on the field right now. That's no disrespect to the players. I'm sure they're all trying to win and trying to fight for spots either with the Cubs or in the big leagues, but there's just it's hard to focus on a single player and say this guy is going to be a big piece of the next great Cubs team. Those guys aren't really there right now. You know, there's a few little pieces that I think will be interesting going forward. Patrick Wisdom looks really, you know, it's nice to see that he's continuing to perform. I think that's a nice development for the Cubs, but it's also not something where you say there's your heart of the order guy, or this is your big piece for the lineup, or here's your number one ace starting pitcher. None of that's really there right now, so it's hard to
got it.
Hard to focus.
If the Cubs
on
go
the
to the offseason with Patrick Wisdom as the number one starting ace, there's some real trouble coming. He's got a cannon though. I guess I shouldn't say that. He can zing it.
Well, I do think it's interesting that Theo and Jed came in for their big rebuild, the plan, and they were pretty disparaging at every corner about what they inherited from Jim Hendry's regime. And I do wonder if you're looking at the Cubs right now, is there a Wilson Contreras? Is there a Javi Baez? Is there a DJ LeMahieu, a player that they totally dismissed and traded away? Is there a pitcher like Andrew Kashner that you can flip for an Anthony Rizzo? I don't think so. I'm not saying that this has to be as bad as it was at the beginning there, but I do think it's kind of the humbling nature of baseball that, you know, a group that kind of walked in and that ultimately delivered, but then found out, you know, how hard it is to kind of sustain and reinvent yourself. And well, I think they are now encountering a very similar set of problems that they inherited in October and November 2011.
Well, so I want to try to synthesize some of these things that we actually just talked about in relation to what we continue to look at and evaluate and observe over the next 2 months for the Cubs. And it ties back to something that you had just written, Sahadev, about, I mean, obviously, particularly, and I mean this in a complimentary way, very eye-catching, like, title and, like, concept for it. It's essentially, hey, shouldn't the Cubs go after Nick Castellanos this offseason if he opts out? Isn't he perfect for so many reasons, both in terms of the roster, the lineup, and just the PR value? And, you know, never before has a Cub become so beloved in just 2 months as he did, and he earned it. He's beloved for a reason. Guy was just so easy to root for and to enjoy his outlook on the sport. And, of course, he played out of his mind with the Cubs. But setting the specifics of Castellanos aside, though I would recommend everyone read that article because it's just anything about him I just love reading about him. It called to mind something, and this was even, I was thinking this reading it this morning before we even started talking, but I'm reading that and I'm thinking about Patrick Wisdom, okay, and I'm thinking about him specifically for this reason. As we think about what the next 2 months will be and the evaluation of the roster and what the Cubs will need to do heading into 2022 if they're going to even give themselves a chance of competing in the Central, which, you know, all the messaging, all the public messaging is, hey, it's still a winnable division, you know, yada, yada, yada. Here's my question, and you dropped the line, Sahadev, that, you know, right now the Cubs can't look to 2022 and sell Patrick Wisdom as he's the middle of the order bat. You know, he's the guy who's driving this offense, and whether he could do that is, I'm not judging his ability. I'm saying I agree from a public messaging standpoint, you know, that's not a very easy sell. But that got me thinking, what is there anything he could do? Is there anything that all the players that we're kind of evaluating in these final 2 months could do, could show, where you would head into the offseason saying, well, I think they probably, you know, if they're going to use X amount of resources, they should maybe not look at third base, or they should maybe, wherever you're going to park Patrick Wisdom, whether, you know, I know they're giving him a look at first base. Is there anything, or is it just going to be a situation where it's like, we're happy to have him, he's cheaply under control, he's going to be turning 30, you can't plan on him being a guy, whatever the position, and so you almost have to ignore his existence for the purposes of roster construction? I don't know how to answer that question. So I'm just teeing it up to you guys because I'm curious your thoughts. Is for as much as we talk about these next 2 months as being important for evaluation and development, how much do they actually matter when the rubber meets the road and you're making decisions in the offseason about who to sign, who to target, who to not?
Yeah, I mean, outside of Kyle Hendricks and Wilson Contreras, I don't think any positions or any spots are locked down for 2022, right? Maybe I'm missing someone.
Second base.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. Madrigal, and then Nico has a spot on the roster, right? Assuming health for all those guys.
Assuming they're both not on the injured list.
Yeah. So, you know, assuming health, those four guys, they're on the roster for 2022, right? And, you know, I think, sure, Patrick Wisdom's looks good. He looks like a piece that you can, for me, what he's shown me is, like, this guy is a major league player, right? I don't know if he's an everyday player for a winning ball club yet. That's really difficult to say at this point. I don't think you can definitively say that for Patrick Wisdom. You go into this offseason. Listen, Jed said over and over to us on whatever day that was, Tuesday, that this is not going to be like the previous rebuild. This is not 2022 and 2023 are not 2012 and 2013. So that means he's not looking to strip down the roster and lose 90 to 100 plus games. That's not what they're trying to do. If that's true, if he can He also said, listen, I can't tell you exactly what we're going to do because we don't know. And that's fair. I know some people feel like he's avoiding answering that, but the CBA is coming up. It's true. Like, Nick Castellanos doesn't know what he's going to do with his opt-out because the CBA is coming up, right? All these guys, everyone, like, everyone is kind of in limbo for this offseason. I will say, I'm sure Patrick's heard this as well, there's growing optimism that there won't be like a work stoppage, right? That's a good thing.
Can I pause you real quick? Because there are others who have intimated similarly. And because that runs so counter to everyone's sort of pessimism after the last few years, just to be sure, are you saying what you've heard is that there's optimism there won't be a shutdown that cuts into games? Or there won't be a shutdown in December when the CBA expires.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that they'll have a deal by December 1. I'm definitely not saying that. I'm saying we won't miss part of the season. At least, I shouldn't say we won't. I should say they're optimistic. Yeah. There's optimism.
There are people who have reason to
maybe
know. And
these are people that were not optimistic, whatever, pre-pandemic or during the pandemic. So it's changed. Something's changed in the situation that people feel a little bit more optimistic about that. So Jed has said that he doesn't really know what's going to happen. But here's the deal. If you're going to tell us that it's not 2012, 2013, you can't go into next season saying, well, Justin Steele and Keegan Thompson, that's what this season's about. This season's about hopefully Brennan Davis making a late season appearance or whatever. You know, I'm not even sure what else I could suggest, right? Like, there's not many prospects knocking on the door. They have to add in multiple areas. They have to add pitchers, and they have to add some thump to the lineup. I mean, it's great that Madrigal and Nico Horner, I love that idea of adding, you know, guys that are going to be around for a while, having guys that make contact and hit for average. Great. That's a good thing. We need the Cubs need that. But they also need power. And like Patrick and I wrote in our prospect piece, it's not like they're ignoring it and just going all in on contact and average. There's a nice little mix in the system, but you have to add someone that's going to impact that lineup right away. I used Castellanos as a jumping off point, sure, and he makes a ton of sense in various ways. But you just need an established MLB impact guy to be added to the lineup. And Jed acknowledged that as much as well. So if they don't, we know, I mean, if nothing happens this offseason, nothing big, if there's no real change outside of some one-year deals here and there, I mean, that's going to look a little odd, and it has to frustrate fans, because what you're saying is there's no piece that we've added that's a long-term piece that you know, and that 2023 is 2022, we're going to try for the division. We're going to try and compete. In 2023, that's the year where that's the next, you know, great Cubs team. That's the beginning of it. You know, Brennan Davis will be up. Other guys will be coming up through the system. They can trade for impact players, whatever it may be. There's going to be a lot of flexibility and maneuverability, but it has to start this offseason. You can't say 2023 is the year, and then we're going to start that the winter before then. It just doesn't it doesn't add up. I don't think anybody would say that's a sound way to go about it if the goal is for a quick turnaround and to be competing very soon. And Jed said he wants to compete next year. Maybe not be a great, great, obvious World Series contender, but you have to start competing again. And the division's winnable. I mean, the only team that looks like this team is around and could make an impact, like a significant impact next year, in my opinion, is St. Louis. Again, I'm underestimating Milwaukee because I will forever. But St. Louis will have Flaherty coming back, Hudson coming back, and a lot of money coming off the books. And they have two nice offensive players to kind of build their offense around in Goldschmidt and Arenado and some young talent and like Dylan Carlson. So they have prospects as well. So I think it makes a ton of sense to start pushing in if you're the Cubs. The only team that can throw their financial might around, and if they don't in the Central, I mean, and if they don't, it's just a bad look.
when the Cubs finally think they're good again, the Brewers are going to be like coming off back-to-back World Series titles, and we're still going to be like, you know, that Brewers roster, I'm not sure there's enough there. I know they won the last two World Series and like five of the last seven division titles, but I just don't see it over 162. You know, Yelich didn't win the MVP last year. Like, and I say that because Brett was mentioned last episode of like, what do the Brewers do every offseason? Like, they find good pieces that are not prohibitively expensive, that they fit into a larger kind of puzzle, and council just pushes the right buttons. And I think there's something there that the Cubs, I mean, Sahid, if you know this, like, since game 163, it's been endlessly frustrating to the Cubs front office of like, Why do we have all this talent? We have so much talent. They always say we have so much talent, and the Brewers wind up overtaking them. Usually they wait until September. You know, this time they did it in June and July and just obliterated the Cubs season. But I think there's a way there, whether it's doing what the Giants did with their rotation. You just have to be right. You know, they don't get the built-in, you know, they're not going to have 3 to 5 years of excuses here, or like, you know, we're waiting on the farm, or, you know, who could have known that, you know, Edwin Jackson was going to wind up on three other teams like two seasons afterwards. Like, they have to just get it right. And whether that's, you know, if they fell short on Darvish the first time, you know, he came out from Japan, you know, they were heavily in on Ryu, who was a outstanding pitcher. I mean, there are moves like that that can make sense in a short and long term area, and I think that's where you get the kind of middle of the lineup guy we're talking about. I think they need at least two legitimate starting pitchers. I'm with you, Brett, in terms of like, this is all kind of nice evaluation period, but I don't think they're going to make any firm decisions. Like, I think Wisdom is a nice piece for a team because he has a lot of skills and can move around, and he's athletic. And, you know, maybe one of these pitchers, you know, gets like a leg up in the race for rotation next year. But I think the bullpen there is going to be a total grab bag. It's going to be which guys can move up and down from Iowa. Maybe they sign one established guy, but otherwise it's going to be, they think they've got something figured out on the bullpen side, at least. They're very confident on that side.
Yeah, that's perhaps the one area where, you know, they've shown out for years now, and they've brought in guys for sure, but they've also just had so much success with getting that group of, like, you know, AAA MLB adjacent guys who do one extreme thing, and they bring them in, they repackage, they tweak, they whatever, and you just got to hit on like two of four, and boom, you know. I don't know. It's naive to ever say, I'm not worried about a bullpen, it'll be fine no matter what. But, you know, that's definitely been their area of success. And it's also the one area where they do have a really significant volume of impact caliber prospect talent at AAA. You know, it's Brennan Davis and then just a lot of guys that are like, okay, maybe a contributor. That's the positional side. And that makes me think, and this ties to all of this too, and Castellanos is sort of a nice peg for this discussion too, which is that when we talk about all the flexibility that the Cubs will have going forward, you know, we think typically about the financial flexibility. There's just so little committed going forward, and then the prospect flexibility. You know, that you've brought in all of these prospects that give you the flexibility to do what you want to do going forward. When those sort of maybe pricey arbitration players on the Rays or whatever come up and they're looking to move someone out, well, you can be the team that pounces.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
But I was thinking, there's really another area of flexibility that the Cubs haven't had since pre-2015, and that's positional and roster flexibility to not feel like there are certain guys locked in. You know, when you started talking, Sadiv, about like, okay, yeah, you know, Madrigal and Horner probably have roster spots locked in, and Kyle Hendricks and Wilson Contreras, obviously. But like beyond that, there's nobody. There's nobody that you would say, well, this guy, look, we can't justify signing X player because we already have so-and-so to play left field. You know, we can't. And you look at when Castellanos departed in free agency 2 years ago, a part of the issue, of course it was financial. Of course it was. But a part of it, too, was a belief that, well, we're also committed to Kyle Schwarber, and he's got to play left field because we still believe in him. He had had, remember, that killer second half in 2019. So you didn't really want to displace him. And then you had Jason Hayward in right field, and it was like he was sort of starting to progress and get back to better. And at that time, he was still only 29. And it's like, well, we don't really want to displace that either. And can we rotate guys? Can we coordinate all of them? Yeah, maybe. But it's not ideal. You know, it's not ideal. Well, now, going into this offseason, for the first time in a very long time, there just isn't any of that where you're like, nope, can't justify pursuing this player because there's too much already in place. There is literally not a position on the field. I would include second base in that because you could coordinate things if you had to. There's just not a spot where you could possibly say, well, this guy doesn't make any sense for the Cubs because of what they already have. And it's been a very long time since that was true. And so I think that's got to be freeing to Jed Hoyer, who you know loves the idea of being able to look at the whole of free agency and those, again, those trade targets who are sort of being cast off. So you almost think of them as free agents. I'm sure he loves the idea of being able to pick over that. And some might be big long-term deals. Some might be just one-year guys that like, oh, he wants a bounce back maybe with us and we've got a spot for it now. So I don't know. It almost reads like a preemptive defense, but it's really just a reminder that that's a level of flexibility that hasn't existed to this point either.
Yeah. And I mean, if you remember, well, this is the rebuild years, and hopefully this isn't the route they're going, but that was attractive to pitchers back then. There's guaranteed, rotation spots for them, and they can sign that one-year deal and bounce back. It works. It can work if you get the right players and you're putting together a team that actually contends, right? Like the Giants essentially did that. The Giants pulled it off really well with their rotation and they kind of nailed it and it's working really well for them. And then in that situation, you can be aggressive come the deadline to fill holes as well, right? If your team surprises and you're suddenly contending, you don't have to, you know, it's not a sign and flip deal. It's a, hey, this guy's worked out, and we can,
you can trade for Chris Bryant.
You can trade for Chris Bryant. So, I mean, but you know, in a sense that's kind of, you know, forget the name Chris Bryant, but at some point that's going to be something that makes sense, right? Like, I think more like Jose Berrios. Right. Those are the types of deals hopefully soon the Cubs are going to be trying to make, because you look at their system and you say, wow, this guy has high upside. This guy, you look at low A Arizona Complex League. I know fans don't want to hear it. I'm not trying to say like, hey, wait till Owen Casey comes up and starts lighting up Wrigley Field. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, look at how much high upside talent they have. If those guys don't need to be stars in the big leagues 4 years ago for this to work out for the Cubs, what they need is to continue to progress, get to high A or double A, and then buy, you know, soon, and be real nice trade pieces. And then you use that to go get someone like Berrios, someone like Mookie Betts, someone that there's going to be a player on a team that has more than just 2 months left on his deal, right? That you can go and pounce on and say, this is the guy. And now you really leverage the money that you have and the financial flexibility and say, now, okay, this was what we've been waiting for. And that's kind of what I think they're building, right? That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get to that point where you have so much surplus talent in the farm system, and now you don't have to trade your top two prospects. It doesn't work like that anymore. People will take the fifth best prospect and the eighth best prospect and maybe a superfluous piece in the major league roster that can help that team right away or whatever, right? Deals like that happen. It's not like crazy to say, oh, you can't get an impact player for without trading your top prospects. That's not how it works anymore. So they're lined up to do some things. It's just how long will it take and will they act? How soon will they act? And I think those are valid questions from fans because we still don't know. And it's fair to be skeptical about it all. I totally get why fans would be like, hey, this sucks. And I don't trust that they're going to be winning anytime soon.
You're exactly right in that the Cubs are going to have a very compelling case to those free agent pitchers who just want to be able to make 30 plus starts. And, you know, if Rossi can sweet talk like Jock Peterson, like I'm sure he's going to be a very compelling guy on the other end of the line, working with Tommy Hotovy, spring training in Scottsdale, summer in Chicago, like, it works. I think the only two questions are, one, can the Cubs get it right? I mean, Trevor Williams, Zach Davies, Jake Arrieta, there was no noticeable improvements this year or like, wow, like that really clicked and maybe that was predictable. And part of the reason that there was kind of an underwhelming group of pitchers was that Jed was frozen for most of the winter in terms of his budget for baseball operations. That, you know, how conservative are the Cubs going to be? How much, you know, how many sportsbook renderings are they going to produce in the time it takes for Jed to be able to sign like a pitcher to a 1 year, $5 million deal? You know, so like all this stuff sounds great in theory, but the skepticism is well earned from a media fan and even player perspective.
One thing I'll add on that. So there is likely going to be a little bit of a freeze, right? I don't know how it works or how it will work because I don't really remember a time where the CBA was so, like the last time that was in the early 90s where the CBA was so up in the air, right? And people were actually concerned that something wouldn't get done and it could hurt free agency. Will there be teams that try and take advantage of the fact that most teams are going to be frozen and say, like, I'm not doing anything until the CBA is figured out and try and sign guys before the CBA is hammered out? I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know if that's possible. I haven't run this by anybody that's actually in the game. It kind of just popped into my head. But I guarantee the Cubs won't be that team. Like so that's an issue where – If there's like four teams that are like we're gonna take advantage of the fact that other teams aren't being aggressive right now, and then the Cubs again have to pick from like the bottom half of those pitchers that want 1 year deals, I think that's going to be that's where concern comes in, and you're like, okay, well what are they doing? And then it also impacts like how can guys that have opt outs handle this? Like, will they want to opt out? And then if they don't opt out at a certain time and then the CBA is figured out, like, is that going to screw with things, right? Like, they're just like, I can't take the risk of opting out because I have no idea what's going on. Like, it'd be insane to me if Nick Castellanos can't opt out. Like, regardless of what the CBA is, I can't see him, unless he gets hurt again or just completely tanks the final, you know, month and a half, I have no clue how he can't beat $16 million per for 2 years. That seems, am I wrong? Am I misreading something there? But he should blow that out of the water, right?
Yeah, especially with the potential DH in the NL looming. And indeed for him, that's a considerable factor with the CBA. Yeah, I think you're right. I think
It is funny. Like, oh, here's a really great opportunity to jump the market when everyone's, oh, but by the way, it won't be the Cubs. And I think that's actually a fair point, because we got an inartful parallel last offseason with the pandemic, and then a lot of teams were frozen. It wasn't just the Cubs. It was a lot of teams were frozen because they could not make their projections for next year. And there were a few teams, Giants among them, notably, that jumped early and kind of got some targets. And it is, I think, a fair parallel to draw and say, well, when it comes to the financial stuff, the Cubs seem to want to leverage their financial might, but only if they're like really confident about it. And so that's what we might see happening again. That's where we'll leave it for today. We will be back at you next week as the Cubs, they're going to wrap here in Colorado, and then they've got a series with the White Sox, which will just be so much narrative fun. It's like half sarcastic, half serious. And we'll be, so yeah, we'll be back at you next week. I am Brett Taylor. Get my stuff at Bleacher Nation. That's Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney. Get theirs at The Athletic. This is On to Waveland. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, and you can tell your friends the same thing. And we appreciate it. So be well. Talk soon.